question. I say, we think oftentimes about saved, but I said, just forget him because he's never going to forget you. So continually trouble your hearts and soul. I think sometimes I wake up in the morning and say, well, I go to bed early tonight, so I get some sleep. I go to bed and sleep 30 minutes and wake up again. Just continue the whole night long. So next day when I get up, every time I stop, I'm asleep. But you don't know. If you just seek God and follow his blessing. I think Sister Johnny called us in the morning on the way to church as well. Brother Colin, are you going to talk? Say something. I said, well, I believe, and she's gone for the rest of the time. I still don't get a chance to talk. but remember her and pray for her, because she's having problems. Amen. We're going to read this morning from Psalm 42. So just pray and ask God to bless his word. Heavenly Father, we're ever grateful and thankful for all that you do for us. Father, we know that we have enemies, but we have a Savior. So let us forget about him and think on you. God, I ask you to lead and guide us in all things that we do. Lord, there's your bride, Lord, around the world that need help, need understanding. Father, we pray that you would bring forth unto us the revelation. Lord, in the days of Noah, he taught the people for 120 years, preaching to them, trying to tell them how to receive his word, but they turned it down. Lord, but one day, the revelation began to fall from the skies with the raindrops. Lord, all they had not believed, Lord, they were seeing firsthand. Lord, again, this time is coming upon us. That this revelation of the world being on fire is going to take place. Father, we pray that our hearts and souls are ready, so when that revelation comes, that we will be caught away into the heaven with you. And we ask you to bless us. Bless Brother Wade this morning, Father, and touch him in a special way, that he bring forth unto us little words that we need to hear. God, let our hearts be surrendered unto the words that he speak, that we can receive them. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Psalm 42. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God?
When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in thee, for I have gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day.
Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of my countenance.
O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Ammonites, from the hill of Mizar.
Deep calleth unto the deep at the noise of the waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me.
Yea, the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto God all my life.
I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the opposition of the enemies?
As with a sword in my bones, my enemies shall reproach me, while they say daily
Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in the God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the help of my countenance and my God. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated.
Like where that scripture says, my soul thirsts for God, but not just a God, a living God. We serve a living God. There's a lot of gods in this world, but there's also just one living God. Amen. Brother Boyd, would you come this morning and take up the offering?
Blessings you bestow upon us, not deserving, but it is by thy word we try to do. We just ask you to help us walk in each day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Sing that song, The Great Emancipator, key of F. Once my heart and soul were fettered by the binding chains of sin, but the great Emancipator set me free to worship him. Oh, glory, glory, for he's the great emancipator, and that's the song of the redeemed. And like a lost lamb I was drifting, and alone, but the seeking shepherd found. Oh, can you testify that this morning? And led me to my Father's home. I'm singing glory, glory, hallelujah. Sing these verses again. And once my heart and soul was fettered by the binding chains of sin, oh, but the great Emancipator set me free to worship. Oh, can you worship him this morning? I'm singing glory, glory, hallelujah. That's
Surrender to Him this morning. The lighter my load, and the more that I release my cares, the more You take control, and the more that I can humble myself, the more You lift me up. And every day I live, oh Lord, I love You more. And it gets easier to understand this road I'm traveling down. Oh, no more wavering or wandering. I'm standing on solid ground, and I know I'm headed to my future home. And the voice I hear is Yours alone. Every day I live, Lord, I love You more. Oh, can you just surrender to Him? Stepping stone to a higher place, and the trials that seem so awesome to me are now my banner of victory. victory, and I know I'm headed to my future home, and the voice I hear is yours alone. Every day I live, Lord, I love. Let's all stand as our brother comes this morning. Oh, just surrender. Oh, the more that I surrender, yes, the lighter my load. And the more that I release my cares, Lord, you take control. Lord, the more that I can humble myself, the more you lift me up. And every day I live, Lord, I love you more. Sing it to him again. Give it all to him today.
Well, we think sometimes, like Brother John said, you know, we think we're losing, but no, a believer can't lose. A true believer, a born-again believer, cannot lose. You may have some battles that you get knocked down a little bit, but the war is already won. Amen. And sometimes, you know, Robert E. Lee said one time at Gettysburg, they wanted him to continue on, and Robert E. Lee, he looked at his captains, and he said, "We're finished with this battle." He said, "Let's live to fight another one." And so they retreated back, or he knew they was going to get wiped out. Amen. So we listen to our general. Amen. Sometimes we don't retreat. We just have to stop for a little while. Let the captain of the host take over. He takes over, we can't lose. Right? But if we try it, sometimes we fail. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have each and every one of you here. Good to have Brother John and Sister Edie with us. Good to have you. If you're going to be here this afternoon, you can sing a song. Not going to be here this afternoon. Okay. All right. Well, if you did, then you were going to stay and sing a song. Okay. You get a rain check. All right. We sure appreciate them coming, loving with the love of the Lord. I know they came down and to visit, for some reason, their daughter, maybe the son-in-law, that's what it was, the son-in-law, okay, but good to have each and every one of you here. Let me give you some announcements here before we get started, and Brother John, we're still on Son of Man, Part 83 now, so, Stephen's 200 and something, so, yeah, well, and we're going to talk a little bit about adoption. Like, his pastor is Brother Stephen Shambo, and he's a teacher kind of like we are. And of course, he preaches about 3 hours at a time. Right, John? Thank you. Okay. Yeah, time flies when you're having fun. So, anyway, let's remember Brother Aaron. He's at Brother J.T. Paget today, ministering for him. Remember Brother J.T.? He had an accident with a saw, and it got the better of his finger. So we pray that the Lord's already healed him, but we pray that the The doctors put everything back Wednesday, and I talked to him yesterday, and he's doing fine. But just keep him in your prayer. Brother Aaron's preaching for him today. Also, Brother Aaron will be preaching for us Wednesday night, so just keep that in your prayer. Thank you for those of you that come to the prayer service last night. I enjoy them more and more because it makes where you just kind of get in your little bubble and you pray. All right, I like that. Remember Bob and Louise, we're all keeping up with them on WhatsApp and the different social media, and it looks like Brother Bob was not holding back the other night when he was preaching, so... And pray for Brother Luis because he's preaching and then preaching when Bob preaches. So just remember him, you know, for interpreting. So, but they'll be back on the 23rd. So they've still got, you know, a whole week next week to be moving around, traveling around. And then when they get back on the 28th of this month, we'll have our youth service starting at 3 o'clock. Brother Darrell Ward will be with us. He'll also be with us the next day, one service. And we want, that's kind of usually when we have our prayer services, we have a special meeting afterwards. And I believe that the special meetings we've had last year all were wonderful. They were good preachers, and we got some good out of it. All right. Also, remember, February the 11th is the Valentine's Banquet. Our brother Dutch Scott will be speaking for us for a little while that Saturday night, and then he'll be with us on Sunday, one service. Sign-up sheet is downstairs. You can bring a guest with you. I guess couple, it has to be couples, if not singles, it has to be couples, all right? So we would all like for all of you to come. We'll have a catered meal, and we'll have some fun. We have some games and prizes and different things, and what goes on there stays there. Somebody said, thank you. So remember that. Also, we got a wedding on March 24th. I'll get these in here in a minute. Downstairs, there's a thing you can look at, you know, and go online and do kind of like you did with Lily and Zach. So remember, everybody has to RSVP by February the 10th, so says the bride-to-be. February the 10th, all right. And it will be in Beaufort, South Carolina, about a four-hour drive from here. So just keep that in mind if you want to go. All right. Remember Sister June this morning. She's doing better. Yesterday was her third day, and it was a little rough. But she's made it through, and the pain is just very minimal. And she's doing well. So we appreciate the prayers and all the cards and the letters and the teddy bears and all those things. We appreciate that. Sister June loves you all, and y'all love her, I know. Amen. That's why Brother Brown said, please love my family. It doesn't matter if you love me, love my family. All right. Also, remember, when we pray, we need to pray for Sister Frieda. She can't breathe very well this morning. She just called in, so let's just remember that in prayer. And I want to tell you something a little comical. Talking about Brother John was talking about, you know, saving all that money, you know. And I used to buy a lot of stuff from Bass Pro Shop, but I was telling a friend of mine, I said, man, he was an older gentleman, and I said, man, I said, John, I said, they were giving us 20%. I said, I spent $100 and they give me 20 back. Or, you know, I saved 20%. He said, no, son. He said, you spent 80. And that's what they wanted you to do. So don't get it wrong that you're saving 20%. No, you're spending 80. All right. So keep that in mind when they give you a discount. Listen, those people don't make money and have them big towers and big buildings and big salaries by giving you all their money. They still make it on the 80%. So, like Walmart's not going to go out of business if they give you 50% off. Okay? So just remember that. And also, Sister Gwen, remember her and the family there. Went to saw the family last night at the hospital, Kip, the one we've been praying for. Let's just keep him in prayer that the Lord will raise him up out of that. And they've got a decision they need to make tomorrow. So we're going to pray that the Lord will help them to make the right decision. And I pray that his soul gets saved. That's more than anything. More than anything is pray for the salvation of his soul. So let's remember all these things in our prayer. Remember Sister Frieda. And let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Remember Bob and Louise. They've got a lot of work to do. So we're praying for them. So let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day that you've given us. Father, we stand here, Lord, with the cream of the crop. Nowhere else would I want to be, Lord, than with the bride of Jesus Christ. And Lord, now we've assembled together, as you said, together to listen to you, Father. So move this vessel out of the way, Lord. Move this move these lips of clay yourself, that I won't say anything, Lord, against you, Father. I pray that you'd be with each one in the building. If there be any sick among us, Lord, we pray that you'd heal them, Lord. A special touch for Sister Frieda, Lord, that she'll breathe better, Father. We know she's struggling and going through, but, Lord, you're the provider. You're Jehovah Jireh. You are the healer, Lord. You're all the different compound names, but we know you as Jesus Christ. And we know you as our personal Savior and as the Holy Ghost that lives in our soul. Father, we pray that you would just be with each one, Lord, in the foreign fields, Luis and Brother Bob there, Lord, speaking and going around with all the group there, Brother Michael and Sister Jordan and Sister Nyla and the girls and Sister Christine, Lord, we pray that you'd bless them. Give them fruit for their labor, Father. That's what we've been praying, Lord. If we see something, that it will help our youth, Lord, to know that what a privileged place we do get to live in America. And, Lord, the things that we have that we take for granted, I pray, Lord, that we'll not take those things for granted anymore, that we'll cherish them, Father. The time we have here in a good air conditioner and heated building with lights and restrooms inside the building, Lord, we've been to many places where they had none of that. And, Lord, they still worship you. But, God, you made them a home. You give them a future home. That promise that by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we're all going to the same place. We're not going to have big eyes and little U's. We're not going to have a hut or a shack. You said we'd have a mansion. You said it'd be of transparent gold and that we'd live there for an eternity. Father, Lord, just hasten the day that we can see you in that form, Lord. We pray now, Lord, until then that you'll touch us, Lord. Be with us. Keep us safe. Be our Brother John and Sister Edie as they travel back. Lord, we love them with the love of the Lord, and we appreciate their spirit, Lord, that they bring with them. Father, we pray now that you'd be with us in the furtherment of this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're still on Who is This Son of Man? This would be part 83. And we're going to talk a little bit about, we're going to insert adoption just for a moment, because when we start up this Statue of Perfect Man, you've got to be able to talk about adoption, because that's what it is. Growth development. That's what the Statue of Perfect Man is. Adoption, that's growth development. That's what it is, all right? So make it real simple. I want to read you a quote real quick. Brother Brown said, try and do God a service. I was thinking about it this morning. We were talking about this, me and somebody the other day. He said, watch how close it gets to that razor edge between right and wrong. Remember, it'll fall on one side or the other. You better get off the fence. Because that's the sharp edge. You better get off the fence. Amen? Because you're going to go one way or the other. It's a honed razor between the difference of right and wrong. It's got to be every word of God, not just almost every word. Not just almost every word, but every word. And it's got down today, not Lutherans, not Methodists, not Pentecostal, but to the honed age in this age where the Antichrist anointing is so perfect, it would deceive the very elect. Amen. So let's come back to the razor's edge and get on the right side, okay? Let's read. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's not 2,000 years ago. That's today. And if you're born again today, you are the Word made flesh. You're not a second person of a Trinity. You're not the third person of a Trinity. You're God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And we're going to talk a little bit. We're going to get through virtue and into knowledge, maybe, Lord, within this afternoon. We touched on a little bit the other day. But there is a tree of knowledge of good and evil, and then there's a tree of life. All right, so there's two different types of knowledge. It's okay to have worldly knowledge, to live in the world and do your math and do your science and do your social studies and all that. But that's all contrary to the Word of God. And that's the knowledge that we're looking for now, because history can tell you their slant. This is not a slant. This is what happened. And this is what's going to happen. All right? So it's our absolute is the Bible. Amen? So out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that's pleasant to the sight and good for food. Then it stops. That's talking about trees with roots. All right? These two next trees don't have roots except feet. That's what he's talking about now. He says, stop right here. See that little thing? He says, stop. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Look where it places the tree of life. In the midst or in the middle of the garden. We're going to look at it in just a minute, a chart. This is where God, the tree of life, is in your soul. The tree of knowledge of good and evil can work all the way around that, but if you're born again today, that tree of knowledge of good and evil will not enter in your soul. If you're born again. If you're not born again, you are that tree of knowledge of good and evil. I know that hurts your feelings, but I'm sorry. It's time to tell the truth. You're either born again or you're not. That's just the way it is. You may be seated. Lord, add his blessing to the reading of his word. Isaiah 28, verse 9 says, look, who shall teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Who? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. In other words, I had a little bitty glass of milk this morning. I had it with my gravy and biscuit. But I'm not going to have a glass of milk today with my hot dog that my son so graciously brought today. Don't talk about hot dogs. Just leave it alone. It's round steak, just like bologna, round steak. Well, tell me where it come from, all right, because I know where it came from. But I'm not going to have any milk with that. I'm going to have something else because I'm going to eat meat, and that's what we need to be. We need to. God's not going to come back and get a group of people that are novices. He's not going to get a group of people that are babies. Remember, I'm going to read you a scripture in just a few minutes. We've been reading before in Revelation 19. It says his wife has made herself ready. I mean, we become a bride. Sure, you have a bride and you get married and you do things. But man, when it comes to, like June and I'll be 44 years coming up in October this year. And you know, it's kind of scary, but and it is true. We kind of think alike a little bit. Y'all think, June, yeah, June thinks like me sometimes. That's on tape. It's scary for some of you, but she does. And then I think like her. And because why? Because we've been together so long. We've been connected together so long. So what about with the Word of God, though? Because we're two separate people with two separate ideas, could be. But with God, there's not two ideas. There's just one idea. Amen? And that's God's idea. And that one works every time. So we just need to be, what, part of that. Having the mind of Christ, as we've been talking about. And that's what all this is going to be, is we're going to hone it down to having the mind of Christ. We'll skip this this one right here. Let's go pull a chart up, please. And we'll look at the chart we've been working on. And for those of you that's not seen this chart, it's a chart that Brother Joe got it from somewhere. But it's a chart that, make it a little bit bigger, please. There you go. Thank you, Abby. Let's give Abby a hand back there. And Mercy. That's the only two back there, right? Man, goodness gracious. Two girls. That'll tell you guys something. So this is what we're talking about. This is the real you. This is your soul. This is only faith or doubt. There is no in-between. There is no special something. Now, I'm sorry. I know there's doctrines in the message. Did you have this little, got this little seed laying here? Well, Brother Brown said it's either faith or doubt. They both can't be in there at the same time. Faith is God. Doubt is the devil. All right? So God is not in your soul when you're born. I am so sorry to tell you that. Oh, I got quotes. Well, you know what, Brother Brown said? I read you one the other day. Brother Brown said, I was born a kookaburra. And then a wheat germ was put inside of me. Okay, so it's terminologies a lot of times that we get to. I just know one thing for sure. What I did in my life before I was born again, God was nowhere to be seen inside of me. Or I wouldn't have done what I did. So let's just keep it at that. Let's look at good old-fashioned salvation. All right? I was born in sin, shaping in iniquity, espoused from my mother's womb, born a liar. And Brother Bram said, doomed and on your way to hell. How are you going to be in hell if you got faith? All right? So God gives us the new birth. Listen, a woman doesn't come here with seed. She has to be given seed. All right? The seed word of God. God don't have seed like we do, like sperm. The word is the seed. So inside the word somewhere, what did we have faith in? James Dobson? Walmart? We have faith in what? The word. The seed of life is the word of God. But anyway, down in our soul is faith or doubt, one of the two. And we got to understand, I was thinking about this yesterday. Now, Brother Brown talks about, he says about, you know, you can be born again and you know, not have a real emotion, but it will be an experience. All right? I just believe one thing's for sure, Brother John. If I was over in another dimension, the day I got born again, there was a lot of screaming demons trying to claw their way back into my soul. I'm just honest. Because that's where the unclean spirit comes out. That unclean spirit is in your soul. It's attached to your nature. Because you were born in what? Adamic world, Adamic nature. You were born with doubt. Then we come to the realization that we're lost. I needed something. I needed a change. All right? So what happened inside of here, the unclean spirit goes out of the man, walks in dry places, seeketh rest, findeth none, comes back, and see that little hole right there? Comes back in and finds the house swept and garnished or sanctified. You're coming to church, you're reading your Bible, you're doing the things of God, you're not going to the honky-tonks, you're not doing the things that you used to do before. You're filling this up with the Holy Spirit, not the spirit you had before. Amen. Everybody with me, say amen. Amen. All right. So what you gotta do is you gotta cap that thing off. God will seal you in, and he can't get out, the devil can't get in. I say that God said he can't get out. God's not gonna give you the Holy Ghost right here and then pull it back away from you. We'll read here in just a minute. On adoption, you got to learn that when we're born again, it puts us in the family of God. We are a son and daughter of God, all right? With faith in the word of God. Then we have to come to adoption or growth period to where we can, we're born with memory, reason, conscience, affection, imagination. But guess what? That was all used for the devil at one period in time, right? So now if we're born again in our soul, our soul doesn't need redeeming. It's already redeemed. Everybody with me? This part is what we need redeemed. Remember, don't worry about the body. I don't care. You can be born again for 80 years. If the Lord tarries, your body's going to die. Because the curse. But this is not sin. It's under the sin curse. But this doesn't make you sin. It is sin. But inside of us, what? Why we're looking for a body change? Because this is going to die. This is going to deteriorate. So don't say my flesh made me do it. No, your flesh didn't make you do it. That guy right there made you do it. He didn't listen to this guy if you're born again. Well, come on, somebody. You're not listening to the end. What did I tell you a year ago? Let it out. Well, we don't want to take and put a big ring around that. And not let it out. We need to let out what's inside of you, whether it's good or bad. Amen. All right? Because that unclean spirit has got to come out of you. It can't stay there. Everybody with me? Amen. So then we got memories and conscience, affection, imagination. Now those flus, God can't stop those up because he gave you. This is where you got to be in the word of God, be in the Bible, listen to the correct word of God that tells you that Satan can still play with your memory. Amen. Satan can still play with your affection. Listen, you don't love your wife in that inner realm. No. No. You either love God or the devil right here. This is where you love your wife. Everybody with me? But if you got the love of God, it'll teach you how to love your wife. It'll teach you how to love your brother. And listen, you know what it'll do right up there? It'll teach you how to love people that hate you. It's real easy to love people that love you. But it's not real easy to love somebody that you know hates you. But that's what? That's growth development. That's all of us growing up in grace and knowledge. So sanctification in that realm, inner realm, if all that unclean spirit goes out, you have faith in your soul, you are born again. You are a son and daughter of God. There's no way you cannot be if you're born again. Now, if you're not, this is where Brother Branham is real clear, and the spirit of this age is what? You can have the Holy Spirit where? On your spirit realm. Think you love God, prophecy, but you love the devil. You can reason, memory, you can have all these working in a spiritual religious realm and be dead right here and lost and go to hell. That's why Brother Bram said you can have it. You can have the Holy Ghost on your spirit every day of your life and die and go to hell. Why? Because you've never, as we're going to read, I think I've got it for either today or this evening, where they come and say, Lord, have I not done mighty works in your name? Have I not spoken tongues? Have I not, in other words, preached the message of the hour for 40 years? But it never came from here. It came from anointing of God, anointing for this age. Joel says, I'll pour out my spirit on what? All flesh. Everybody's anointed. Listen, the devil was the number one anointed guy, right? So he's put his anointing out, and God's got an anointing that he put out. And thank God, Brother Brown Priest, you know, you've heard what I said. A brother one time said when he first came in the message that he was doing just fine until he listened to anointed ones at the end time. Brother Johnny said it scared him to death. It should, because that's the deception of this age, not another age, this age. If you can sit in church, listen, praise the Lord, a preacher can stand up here. How many times have I told you? I listened to a preacher preach about the millennium that he preached it so good. I still have notes off what that brother preached. And while he was standing in the pulpit, he was sleeping with a 14-year-old girl. He didn't have anything right here. He had got under an anointing, and he preached the gospel. You know what? God allowed him to do it. But your folly will be made manifest somewhere down the road, all right? Somewhere down the road, you're going to fall off. Somewhere down the road, that razor's edge, you're either going to go what, this way or this way? And with a razor, once you slide off one side, how are you ever going to get back to center? You can't. You got to go back to here. And get on this side, all right? That's why it's a razor's edge. This whole thing is a fine line between an anointing and truth, all right? So now if the unclean spirit goes out of your soul and God fills your soul with the Holy Ghost, then what are we working on now? What are we working on now? We're working on the spirit realm. We're working on the memory, reason, conscience, affection, imagination, because that's where you are going to come to adoption. That's where Brother Bram said power without character is satanic. Power without character. That's those people that preach and have all kind of power and signs and lying wonders, and we're going to read about that in a little bit. But they never come to the what? Knowledge of the truth. Oh, I believe Brother Bram was a prophet. Yes, yeah, so the devil does too, folks. He knew when that man stood up there. He said, Don't you hear that demon screaming to that demon over there? I pray that one day we get to that spot. I don't care if I want to. I don't know if I want to hear them or not. I'd scare you to death. But I want them to be so scared that they don't even want to come into this building. Didn't Brother Brown say? Didn't the Bible say a sinner would not be able to sit in the congregation of the righteous toward the end? I'm just telling you Bible. Why? Because that thing inside of you is going to be screaming, I don't want that. But oh, there's going to be a group of people that's going to say, that's all I want. Give me that and nothing else. There's a group of people on the earth today, Brother John, I believe that. I believe I'm looking at some of them. Does the devil ever talk to y'all? Am I okay? Okay, well then I just thought maybe it was me. The devil told me that I was praying the other day. I said, Lord, I want this church to be like the church at Ephesus. Now we got more than 12, obviously, but they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They were all adopted, and the life of Christ was working through all of them. Brother Brown called them a powerful church, 12 people, but they all were filled with the Holy Ghost. I said, I want all my people filled with the Holy Ghost. Everybody I come in contact with, everybody in this building, I want to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost in their soul. Make your job easier? About that much, but not that much, because we still got that other man to work on. But you know what the devil said? The devil said, he said, now, you don't think the devil quote Brother Branham? He said, you know, the prophet said that
They'd be make believers, true believers, and unbelievers in every congregation. Sometime on Wednesday night, the other Wednesday night when I was home with June, they wasn't but just a few of y'all here. Y'all just look around and see what's going on sometime. Boy, you get them quiet, don't you? But that's what the devil said. But you know, I said, devil, I said, that's okay. But you did say we have believers in there. All right, so we got believers, make believers, and unbelievers in every congregation. But you know what? I want those unbelievers and make believers to become believers. Because they can. It's not unfathomable that every one of you can have the Holy Ghost. And that you can all have an experience with God inside your soul. And then what does God want to do? He doesn't want to leave you a baby. He didn't just take the baby and put you over in the corner and say, good looking baby. No, he wants you to feed the baby. Amen. He wants that baby to grow up. Yes. We'll talk about that in just a few minutes. If you'll give me a little grace here. But listen to this. You want to know how in the world, why, how are we going to get this power? How are we going to get these virtues? How is these things going to work in our life? Go ahead and pull the next quote up. Blind Bartimaeus, Brother Brown said, just like the brass serpent. The serpent didn't have no virtue. It was a piece of brass they brought up out of Egypt. Neither did the pole have any virtue. Not a bit. But it was obeying what God said do. God tells us to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. If you don't do that, you're not obeying God's word. Obey is greater than what? Sacrifice. Well, my kids are home this weekend. I've done told you. That's the worst example of a Christian you could be, is stay home because your unbelieving kids are home with you. Drag them to church or tell them to do something else while you go to church. I told you a long time ago, June's dad, when we first come back to the Lord, June's dad, lovely man. I wish he was born again. He'd be a real good believer. Because he thinks goodness is going to get him to heaven, just being a good man. And we pray for him. We still pray for him that the Lord will turn that into a new birth. But, you know, they always said, they know, your family knows your life more than anybody else. They see you every day of the week, and they see you in your history of what you were before. That's just something temporary. He'll be right back, you know, to what he does. And then he comes over on Saturday. Him and his wife comes over on Saturday. And then they stay for Sunday. And they want us to stay home so we can go do something, because he's going to take us out to eat, or he's going to give us some money, or he's going to do something. Well, guess what? The first thing we did, we said, Eugene, that's fine. You stay right here. The coffee's over there. Food's in the refrigerator. We'll be back about 5:00. Or you can go with us and meet these great people that were around. I know I told you many times before, I tell John and Edie, my father-in-law thought my dad was the only person that believed Brother Brown was a prophet. This little crazy cult that we had. But you know what God did? You've heard my story before. You know what God did? God allowed him to come to our house, and there sat Brother Prakash from India. He allowed him to come one weekend, and there was Brother Keith Reed from Jamaica. And there was Brother George Quinn from Ireland. And all these brothers come, and then he's like, well, who believes this thing? And I said, this worldwide. It's not just something that Samuel Dale, concocted up and found it's this one prophet, and we're all believing it, and that's it. No. But God allowed them to see that there's more than just a cult. Sometimes we're not even a good cult, because the cult does what the leader tells him to do. Come on, somebody. Just saying. What brought the power or the virtue is obedience to the word of God. Okay? You say, how can I do that? Read your Bible and pray. That is your obedience. Amen. This is the curriculum. There is no other book. This is the curriculum. All right? We have 1,100 enhanced versions of that. Amen? Everybody with me? Amen. The prophet of God had to, because we'll read it here in just a minute. Well, a little bit later on, where that he had to come back. There had to be an anointing coming in time to take us back to the word of God. the true Word of God. Men had a part of the Word of God. Luther had a little bit of light. Wesley had a little bit of light. Pentecost had a little bit of light. But they didn't have the full light. Like I said before, you tell the people when you're talking to them, say, look. They say, well, you just, you know, they call Brother Donnie's church the skirt church. Well, now, the Bible tells the sisters not to wear pants, right? Amen. It's in the Bible. I don't care if it's in the Old Testament or New. Because the Ten Commandments is in the Old Testament, too. You going to throw them out? Huh? Jesus was in the Old Testament. You want to throw him out? Amen? But who told you you didn't have to wear them? Dress. Wasn't God. God and the devil, that's the only two powers that they are. All right? Same way with cutting hair and all that other stuff, all the other things that we it's in the Bible. We can read it out of the Bible. Who told you you could do something different? That's where all these denominations come from. That's where all these, and look at the Methodist Church now. The Methodist Church is getting ready to implode. They don't know what to do. Have a gay priest. Martin Luther, John Wesley would have a heart attack if they were here watching what happened to their, because look, but remember, razor's edge.
That's right.
Got off the word and just kept going off.
Right.
If they elect gay priests and all that stuff in the Methodist Church, well, you know they're dead anyway. But it's really going to be, people are going to pull away. Maybe we'll get them to the truth. There's a lot of people looking for truth out there, folks. You talk to people. They are not satisfied with their denomination because it's not taking them anywhere. There's nothing for them. Oh, yeah, we just go to church and, you know, you can do that in a lodge. You can do the things they do in the Baptist church in a lodge. Then you can go outside and smoke and drink and do whatever, you know. Must be like the world. But we're different. We're different because God's inside of us. Because God's different. Because they said, Jesus, you're Beelzebub, you're the prince of devils, you're a wine drinker, you run around with sinners and prostitutes. They called him a devil, and he was the word of God. He was all this right here, plus the head. And they called him that. What are they going to call me and you? Same identical thing. Brother Bram said, we're not building an organization. I'm not here to build an organization. Christ never sent me to build an organization. Christ sent me to build individuals. Christ sent me to build individuals to the stature of Jesus Christ, that they might be what? The powerhouse. Dunamis. Dynamite. Blow all this other stuff out of the way. That they might be the powerhouse. Look, and the dwelling place of the Spirit by his word. By his word, see, build up the individual to that place. And then we were talking about the third pull. Because Brother Bram said one time, he's talking about virtue. He said the woman that touched the hem of his garment, she pulled virtue out of him. All right? So let's look at the third pull just for a few minutes, or three pulls. Because we want to, I know there's some new ones here that don't understand this, but just put this is justification, sanctification. This is your walk. All right? This is our walk. Interpreted by a prophet that told us the first pull was what? Sign in the hand. Outside. Sign in the hand, right? The second pull was discernment. He actually pulled the virtues out of the people because the people would walk up to him and he said, oh, I see that you live on 29th Street and you saw a doctor yesterday that wore glasses and had a nurse, you know, she had on a blue suit. I mean, he was so vivid. So he could have just said, I saw you sitting there talking to the doctor. No, he gave him the color of the things that was in that room. And said, oh, I see you now, though. I see you later on, or I see a baby in your lap. Well, what was that? That was what was inside that person. That person wanted to know what God had for their life, and that discernment pulled the virtues out. And you know what it done? It cleaned a group of people up. And set them aside for service. Brother Brown, the people would walk up to him. He said, oh, I see you have a warm spirit. But he would also say, remember I told you that one, I didn't read it, but I quoted it the other week. That guy came up and said, I want to quit smoking cigarettes. Well, Brother Brown discerned that. Oh, I see you want to quit smoking. He said, but your greatest problem is that you need to be born again. So if you'll go get born again, said them cigarettes will go away. You know what? He's exactly right. If Donnie Farbush should tell you sitting right there, you get the Holy Ghost, you don't have to smoke no more. This is not Alcoholics Anonymous.
That's
This is not reformation. This is a change of your whole nature. That's the kind of God I love him for that. Because he took a rank sinner like me and like you, just took us and give us the Holy Ghost. Give us the greatest message that ever fall on the face of this earth. Gave us a place to live. Gave us a place to go to church. Gave us an ear to hear. Gave us eyes to see. And sometimes we just sit there and stare. So the third pull then, or the third part of your journey, is the opening of the Word. God can't open the Word if you don't have the Holy Ghost. Now look, he can give you part. He can give you little crumbs. He gave what? Ruth. He gave her hands full of purpose. He gave her some things. He didn't give her the whole crop. She wasn't after the crop. She was after the man that owned the crop. Amen. So the opening of the Word is the Son of Man. That's the seven seals. That's once we get all the way up to the top. Because I want people to understand that. I know that those of you that are in the message, and you've been in the message a long time, we talk about being third pull people. We are not third pull people until we're second pull people. We've got to have the sanctifying of that man in our spirit and soul, working to where we, as Brother Bram called us, a powerhouse. And Brother Bram also said, he said, power without character is satanic, but power with character is fit to rule. So the second pull, we'll look at the Laodicean church age. I took this in two parts because, Brother John, you know, sometimes we quote these things and we quote them, and then people go, well, what do you really mean by that? Because Brother Bram tells us now this messenger of Malachi 4 and Revelation 10:7 is going to do two things. Why is he going to do two things? One, according to Malachi 4, he'll turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. So he's going to put us back to the faith of what? Paul, Matthew, yes. John, Peter. That's where we're at, the faith of them. Bring it back to here. Now, that's not going to take us in a rapture, though. That's not going to change our body. It didn't change theirs. We've got to come to a place, though, to where God can use us by the stature of a perfect man, or the revelation of the Son of God, which is the Holy Ghost inside of you, in that what? In that control room, working his way out. Everybody with me on this? But the third pull then is the second part that Brother Branham would come to do, or the messenger of Malachi 4. He will reveal the mysteries of the seven thunders in Revelation 10, which are the revelations contained in those seven seals. It'll be these divinely revealed mystery truths. So in other words, we got to go up a little bit higher. That literally turned the hearts of the children to the Pentecostal fathers, exactly so. So what's the seals? The seals are the Son of Man. That's the headstone coming back to the church. That's what we need for a body change. And that's also what we need to draw us or pull us up into that statue of perfect man, to pull us up into another dimension. Because you know what? We're not of this dimension. We're of another world. People look for aliens. We're not green. We're humans. But we're hidden by God. To walk into this world, Jesus was so hid they thought he was a devil. He was so hid they thought he was a wine bibber. They thought he was, he didn't wash his hands. We'll read that in just a minute because I want you to see what he called these people. We're going to get to that if we don't get anything else. Everybody with me? Because you think, oh, here's the Prince of Peace. He's just so lovely. He's so wonderful. He's so kind. He's the same guy that plaited ropes. He's the same guy that's fixing to call his disciples stupid. Remember Brother Dale? He said, I don't want to use that word. And then he used it 3 or 4 times. I don't want to use that word. It's okay to be ignorant, okay? It's okay to be ignorant. Everybody's ignorant of certain things. I'm ignorant of, I can't put a car together. But if I wanted to try, there's a certain, school I got to go to. Somebody with me? There's a certain school I got to go to learn how to do that. All right, I want to learn how to be a better Christian. I want to learn how to be a powerhouse of God. I want to learn how to be where that there's a knot in my heart that I can go pray for somebody. Do you not want that? That's what I want. Oh, I'm afraid I'll make a mistake. You're human. But if it's God doing it, he never will make a mistake. We got to let God take over. The evening messenger will bring back the church to the word. Now, what is this messenger of Malachi for to do? Restore back the original faith. Look, the resurrection faith. That's what we're heading toward, folks. We're not heading toward a body change yet. We got to have enough faith to bring the dead, as Brother John was saying. We got to get the dead out of the ground first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be changed. And then we'll go into rapture. Restore back the original faith, the resurrection faith, that they seen Jesus after he had raised from the dead, seen him working among them. They were men of few words. They went forth and preached the word. Oh, they preached long. That's where Stephen gets his Brother Brown's quote right there. They preached long. Long enough where Paul preached one night, he preached all night. And a man fell out of a building and it killed him. And you know what he thought? Here's Paul. Paul said, well, bless God, he fell out of there because he didn't want to listen to me. No, he said, hey, listen. He said, God, that's my fault. I preached so long to the humanity that the guy was sitting there and he was trying his best, I believe, to listen to Paul. And he just got sleepy and fell out. Well, Paul, if it was me, I'd feel obligated to go down and pray for the guy. Because it's partly my fault. I'm going to try to keep him up all night. So we're not going to do that today. All right? He laid his body over him, brought him back to life. But see what? That showed power. That showed the power that Paul had. Paul didn't have to go fast for 3 days. He didn't have to go do some special something. He just knew in his heart. You know what he did? What Brother Brown say how these people get healed? Because I enter into their situation. That little lady, that the little kid was healed before Brother Brown even touched the kid. He said she was healed right over here because that mother that knew what that mother was going through with the baby. And so he prayed for her and she was healed right there. Hard for people to realize that women can pray for the sick. Well, praise the Lord anyhow. He laid his body over him and brought him back to life again. Look, wait a minute. He kept on preaching. After he preached all night. Kept on preaching. Don't read that in this, Brother Stephen. Y'all be in trouble. 3 hours is good. Now, what's he going to do? He's going to turn the heart of the children to the fathers. We're talking about this man that we call William Branham. Now, it's not the man. It's the message. It's the anointing that he had on him. Now, listen. Him and his message was one. He was the Elijah of this day. He yielded himself to that and became the prophet in the end time. Remember, he was always a prophet. But he had to, listen, it's hard to see where that Brother Brown said, I used to wash my car on Sunday and watch them people go to church. A prophet? Yeah, he was lost. He needed saving. He was going to be a murderer. He was going to commit suicide twice. He was going to kill that boy. He was going to kill that man. And he would have if it hadn't been for God. That's the same way with me and you. Satan would love to kill us all right now, but there's something God has for each and every one of us. That's why you're here. That's why you're listening today. That's why you're at least giving God some time to soften you up. Remember what we preached a long time ago? That stony heart, we're all born with it. But God didn't take that stony heart out and put a heart of flesh in there and then put his spirit. Remember? He said, then he puts his spirit. That's your spirit. He said, that's so you can get along with yourself. That's so that God can get along with you. Then he puts the Holy Spirit in. Then he puts his spirit in after he softens you up. To me, that's the journey that we take. I know some people can get born again just like that, but I was just slow. I'm a southerner. It took a while. Maybe it didn't, y'all. But it took me a while. But I do know, Brother John, I do know my journey. I can put you through every part of that journey. Can you? You ought to be able to if you're born again. If you're not, then you need to get born again. Then you'll look back and say, oh, that's what that journey was all about. That's the situation I was in. That's the things I had done or didn't do to get me to where I'm at today. He'll be taking the message of Pentecost to turn the children to the faith of the fathers because he'll be rebuking them. What? Because they didn't keep this same faith. They went off into tongues as the evidence. They went off into Trinitarianism and two-ness and all these different things, oneness. So he's got to bring that faith back to where, look, when we stand here today as Christians, take away the message part. We stand here as Christians. You got to believe something. If you say I'm a Christian today, you either got to attach yourself to Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal, Independent, Church of God. You got to attach yourself to somewhere, because when you say I'm a Christian, then the world says, why or how? Who do you follow? Well, sure, we follow Christ. I know that. But if you try to follow the Methodist Church and they're fixing to put a gay woman as your leader, God forbid. That's in the Bible, too. So what are they doing, though? The Methodist Church is supposed to be, their foundation is supposed to be on the Bible, yet they're doing what the Bible said not to do. All denominations have a part of that. I've got a quote where I'm going to read you this afternoon. Brother Brown says that the Church of God has the Holy Ghost. Now, this is back in his time. Each one of them has the baptism of the Holy Ghost for their time, for their day. That was Baptist that's going to be in heaven, that's born again. But once you're given this message, once this message is presented to you, you have no cloak. You either got to accept it or reject it. Brother Brown said, word rejectors go to hell. Right? I'll read to you a little bit in Romans. Remember, when you come to the knowledge of the truth, there's no more sacrifice for that sin. And notice here, the first Elias was to come. He turned the hearts of the children to the fathers. Now, he corrected himself, because it's the hearts. In other words, the soul of man in the Old Testament could not be born again. Right? The Old Testament saints did not have the new birth in their soul because they were only capoed or covered by the blood of bulls and goats, which had no life to come back into the believer. They were covered, though. They had an anointing. They were in the Old Testament. They're going to be there, but they're not bride. Because they didn't get it in their soul. Because Jesus hadn't come yet. The Bible plainly says they didn't get the Holy Ghost because Jesus hadn't died yet. Or been glorified is what the scripture says. All right? But they had their part. They played their part. How many times did Brother Brown said, Moses without the Holy Ghost called down flies, fleas, and frogs? What about me and you with the Holy Ghost? That's a dish to us. Joshua without the Holy Ghost. Sir, stand still. Wow. That's why Brother John, when he read that about, you know, I quoted it the other day about Brother Brown saying, if you had the Holy Ghost, you had enough power in you to go create a world and live on it. Right? But there's a bar holding us there. It's called our flesh, and it's called others that need to get born again. We don't want to go off on an island by ourselves somewhere. It would be nice sometime to create a world and go live on it. But I want people to be around me. I want people to be with me. See, the old patriarch fathers, the old orthodox, the legalist, the law, he turned it back to the faith of the fathers. What? John was saying, behold now the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. This is a new message. This is not the old message. The old message was bulls and goats. One priest, go behind the veil, put the blood on the altar. And what did Brother Bram say? He said they come out. If they were adulterer when they walked in, they were adulterer when they walked out. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You go behind this Holy of Holies, into that Holy of Holies I was talking about. If you're an adulterer, you won't be one. Because that piece of you is gone. That part of you has been destroyed, not just covered. The hearts of the children, this new message that John was preaching of the coming Messiah at hand, he turned the hearts of this. But watch the next time John appears. Now, he's talking about John, the spirit of Elijah, not John. John's not coming back. Everybody with me? You know what he's talking about. He turns the hearts of the children back to the Pentecostal fathers. So it'd be back to the original message. What? The book of Acts. And you'll know when it gets here. In other words, he said, if you got the Holy Ghost, you'll know. Today, if you got the Holy Ghost, you can't go very long in another church. Now, I'm not talking about this building. Y'all kind of quiet. You asleep? I'm not looking at all of you. Wake up. But am I not telling you the truth? Thank you. Well, you can say yeah. Okay. It'll be a restoration, look, to send that lukewarm lettuce in, church, back to that original faith back yonder again. And he will be anointed to do so. So that's the anointing that we're under, that we are not just Pentecostals. We're Pentecost plus. We're Methodist plus. We're Baptist plus. Because they all have a piece. Listen, the very method of our worship came from the Methodist church. That's why they called it Methodist. Thank you. Because it was a method of worship. And God was pleased with that method of worship. All right? But now what's going to happen to me and you? I will restore. This is the promise. I will restore to you the years. The locust eat, the canker worm, caterpillar, pommel worm. So what happened is when Jesus left the earth, they started eating on what? They started eating a church. They didn't start eating a tree. It was a bride tree. Didn't Brother Brown say it's a bride tree? He started eating at the bride tree. And he almost ate it down to a stump. But Lord, thank you that you're going to restore all that back.
Yes.
To the faith of the fathers. He's going to restore that gift back. And not only restore the gift back to us, but he's going to give us a place of adoption to where we can be placed, where God can use us. Like he wanted to use the first church. He did, but they fell from their first love. Why? They accepted creeds and denominations. They accepted false doctrine. And you shall eat in plenty. What a promise. And be what? Satisfied. And praise the name of the Lord your God. Y'all ought to try that sometime. Some of you. That hath dealt what? Wondrously with you. And my people shall never. I'm not ashamed to stand here today. I'm not ashamed to tell the world God sent a prophet. I'm not ashamed to tell the world I understand what God said. I'm not. We have the mind of God. It's not some thought over there or some idea. It's the mind of God. And why? Because we've opened ourselves up for the word, not for the world. You know, there's only one word, there's only one letter difference from world and word. And that's an L. Loser. Listen, we're all lost without God. We're all losers. That's what the man said one time. He said, I can't understand why Brother Branham would call women or refer to them as dog meat. I said, brother, if you're not born again, you're dog meat. Boy, they don't like that. They didn't like that at all. He changed the subject. But that's the truth. You're all cannon fodder. The Bible tells us that we'll walk out on the ashes of the wicked. You're not going to walk out on somebody who's been born again. You're going to be the one that walks out. I'm not telling you this. The Bible's told you that. You're going to walk out on the ashes of the wicked and be under your feet. So let's look real quick for about, because this is what we're preaching about. I thought I'd insert this a little bit. I know Brother Stephen's preaching on adoption too. And this is all on adoption because it's going to be placing, because Brother Brown said what? When the bride realizes what? Who she is and what she's doing here. She'll be an invincible army. Listen, we're getting whipped all over the place. We've got sickness. We got our kids are not saved. We got our friends are not saved. Our husbands, our wives. We're getting beat around all over the place. I don't care. Give me what the prophet said. He said, when you can do all, stand. Stand right there and see the salvation of the Lord. All the children of Israel, they probably got all kind of nervous. But you know what happened? It was water that way. There was some real mad Egyptians that way. They were standing in the middle. They said, we're done. Sometimes we have to get in that place till we say, we're done. And Moses, stop your whining. And that way he said, Moses, why cry? Speak and go forward. He didn't say speak and go backwards. He said speak. And what did Moses say? This day. Those Egyptians that's been bothering you all your life, you'll never see them again. They'll be dead to you. Your life will be what? Heading toward the promised land. Right. Heading toward what? All the great miracles that God did over that way. Right. Not back that way. Oh, but we got a group of people that sits around going, I wish I was back there. No, you don't. Did anybody ever eat a leek? It's a real strong onion. The strongest onion you ever eat in your life, a leek is more than that. It don't even sound good to eat a leek. It's kind of like guacamole. Blah. Well, here we go. All right. Well, at least it'll wake you up. But leeks and garlic, put those two together and eat it. They'd rather eat that than to go on with God. Come on, somebody. That's ignorance. The position of a believer. Now, just a minute. Give me five more minutes. If you'll be real reverent, give me a little more nap. Before the foundation of the world, he's talking about Ephesians 4, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. We read the scripture many, many times, Brother Dale, also. Having predestinated, in other words, foreknowing. Not just predestination. You got to look at foreknowledge first because that's beforehand. He has what? Predestinated us unto what? The adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the pleasure of his good will. Now, brother, that was the scripture. Now, this is Brother Branham. I want to read this. This is probably this quote puts everything together. There's 100 quotes that you can they talk about adoption, but this one kind of just places it, and we'll read it, and then we'll close. We'll start back this afternoon. I don't want to tell you too much. John and him's going to be gone, so I want them to stay. Now let's take the laws of the Old Testament for a shadow. Watch this real quick. And will you bear with me just a moment before closing? Now under the law, the order of the law of the Old Testament, which is the type of this day. Remember, the Bible says that all that was given for an example. Moses was given an example for this day. Moses was given, Isaiah was given, all the different prophets were given, looking what? To us. Every one of them said, we want to live in that day. Remember when Jesus was here, they said the prophets, he said they desired to see this day. In a family of man, when a child was born in the family, as soon as the boy was born, he was the son of that family. All right, so how many messages did we spend of those 80? Showing that faith is the foundation. It is the birth. It is putting you into the family of God. Is everybody with me? All right. The father loved him, of course. Listen, we all love our children, right? I don't care what they're doing. We love them. You better. He said, well, mine's out doing this, so I ain't going to. I'd take a bullet for any one of my kids. I don't care if they're just the sorriest people ever living on the face of the earth. They're still my kids. They're still mine. You know what? God would take one for your sorry rear end, too. Amen? He did. He got hung on the cross for me and you. Amen? Let's don't forget Calvary. Let's don't forget what he did for us. Do not ever forget that. When we get to the lowest of low, just remember, he did all that for us. And you know what? He knew you'd make it. As soon as the boy was born, he was the son of that family. If you're born again today, you are bride. And you are in the family of God. And you are what, though? But you're put into the family of God to what? To get these gifts. To get these wonderful things. You know, mom and dad gave us some wonderful gifts at Christmas. Didn't give y'all one. Well, they did, but you understand what I mean. Family to family. Right? I love Brother John and Sister Edie, but I didn't invite them to my Christmas party because they're not Dales, right? Same way with God. Listen, God's a jealous God. He wished everybody would come. He compelled them to come, but they wouldn't. So what does he do? He hones his attention on his bride. He hones his attention on his family. I'm going to send you the best of the best. I'm going to give you the best message at the best time. It may be dark out there. It may be dreary, but I'm going to give you the best. I'm going to give you a chance to get out of here. He loved us more than just it's not filial love. It's agape love. And agape love, look, has no boundaries. Listen. All we can do is love our husband and wife and our kids conditionally. I say humanly. Humanly. Now, when we get to love of God, that's when we love them unconditionally. But, man, I didn't like my kids when I wasn't born again. I didn't like my kids. I didn't like, well, you know what? My daddy didn't like me either. My heavenly father. Don't look over him. He loved me because he knew we were coming. So that's a good thing that that the Lord showed him. Amen. The father loved him, of course. Then if you get over in Galatians, you talk about, you know, tutors and governors. Then the father had so much work to do over the whole kingdom. What do you want to do? You know, God can run. Let's just stop for a second. God can run this world without us. God can run the universe without us. He can make every star go in the right direction. He can make everything go according to his plan. But he decided to use you. He decided to defeat the devil through you. That's what he decided. And you know what? If that's my daddy and he decides that and he's God and he don't make a mistake, put me there. The father had so much work to do over the whole kingdom. You know why? That's why God's got angels. Those angels do the work for God. Well, be quiet. He sends angels. He sends angels. He even sent angels. Jesus said angels talk to him and strengthen him and comfort him. Am I still in the Bible? So we've got angels. Today there's angels standing around here. And you know what they're doing? There's an angel going with you, because I'm going to tell you what this is. This tutor is an angel that sent to a believer to go back to the father and say, hey, he's doing good, or hey, he needs a whipping. Everybody with me? Look, he placed a tutor or a teacher over the son. And this tutor brought word to the father all the time how the child was progressing. A teacher, anyone knows that was the Old Testament rule, a tutor. Paul speaks about the law being a tutor or a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, or an educator. Now, as this, the tutor began to watch the boy grow. Now, remember, he was already a son. He was already a Christian. Let's just put it that way. He was already in the family of God. He was already, what? Under the blessings of God. All right, but he had something to do to continue on to be what? An adopted son of God. Because adoption is not like we say adoption. We take somebody else's kid and we adopt them in the family. Now listen, God don't adopt Satan's kids. He adopts his own kids. All right, and adoption is really placing in the Bible, not bringing somebody into your family. Listen, we're not adopted kids. We're born sons and daughters of God. If you're born again, you're not adopted, but you have to come to adoption. Watch this. He was a son. The tutor began to watch the boy grow, but yet the father didn't know what to do with him or what he would be when he growed up. Now, our father does. But he, you know what? He stands back and lets you make the choice. Now, to my full opinion, friends, listen, real close now, let's pray for me if I'm wrong. What happened when the full gospel church began way back yonder years ago? They became sons of God when they received the Holy Ghost. That's right. They come sons. And the Holy Spirit is the tutor to raise them in the admonition of God. Now, as the tutor has been watching the children and the church has been progressing, coming up, they've seen the age of birth. You say born again? That's right. Correct. You're just as much son as you'll ever be when you're born again. But, the tutor bringing word to the father. Then if the father, the tutor, comes to the father, and the boy become about age, about where the church ought to be now, comes of age, brightened up, some of us ought to brighten up a little bit, seasoned, according to the time when the boy become of age, the tutor come to the father. And see, the boy being a son already, but yet he wasn't a worthy son. He was a son. Power without character. Right? He wasn't a worthy son. Listen, those people that went to Nicaea, Brother Brown said the bride went there. In other words, prophets went there. They never got adopted. They got beat down. because it wasn't time. It wasn't time for them to grow, right? You know who beat them down? Satan beat them down. They lost their first love, and they started Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and all these different denominational ideas that's not even in the Bible. If he wasn't a worthy son, the father could not adopt him or place him into his own family. He couldn't do it because the boy would run through what he had. Kind of like the prodigal son. He was a restless child. In church, out of church. This, that, doing the other. I can't do this. I can't do that. He didn't have the ability to carry on with the father's work. Now, this is a son. So the father just let him go on as a son. A lot of people, when Brother Brown stood up 60 years ago and said, we're living below our privileges, that's exactly what he meant. He saw people that were born again, but they got cold. They got formal. But if he was a fine boy, he was about his father's business. And the tutor brought word to the father saying that the son is fine. He's eligible. He's all right. Then the father took the son out into a public place as a public testimony. I believe God took William Branham out to the mountain and produced that cloud and said, this is my son. Hear ye him. Because remember, he come back and preached his message to the seals. We'll get to that later on. And set him up before the people. And the father, look, by doing so, give the son the authority over his kingdom, over his business and so forth. The son had a right to go out and do certain things in the kingdom with the same kind of authority that his father had. That's why we're living below our privileges, because we don't believe that. We don't believe that, oh, yeah, well, you get born again, you're a child, you're able to do things, but... Wow, when we start going up the statue of perfect man, which we've already in the virtue and knowledge, what is that? That's the father saying, that a boy, or I'm just going to let him be what he is. That's what he just, hold on a minute. Go down here a little bit further. If he wasn't a worthy son, the father could not adopt him or place him. He couldn't do it because the boy, would run through what he had. He didn't have the ability to carry on with his father's worth. So the father just let him go on as a son. That's why we live way below our privileges. That's why we're so tossed about. It's because we don't believe that we can be more than a son. We can be an adopted son. That's what I should have preached this, you know, back in about part 40-something. Because that's what we're heading to. We're heading to adoption. We're heading to a place into where it's not you. Listen. That temperance right there, we got to work on. The knowledge, when we're going to talk about knowledge, you have to have knowledge for this world. We have to naturally, don't drop out of school because we think that school is of the devil. Or that Brother Brown says education's of the devil. So people start pulling people out of school when we were 15, 16 years old. And look at people now, right? Look at people now. So get an education. It's required in this time for you to get a good education. And listen, it's required that you get a good education here too. It's required. And then when you do, guess what? You get to do, as my granny always said, you get to gadgetate. I got to read this over here because you got to hear it. What Jesus said right here. And then we'll close. Musicians, come on. It may be for tonight. We'll see. I'll look and see. Oh, here we go. Matthew 15, verse 16. And Jesus said, are you also yet without understanding? That phrase means foolish, unintelligent, without understanding, stupid. Jesus said, are you without understanding? Have I not told you? Said, do not you understand that whatsoever enters into your mouth goes into the belly and out through the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. That's what defiles a man. For out of the heart, out of that throne room, proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness and blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. Let's don't be stupid. So that's what Jesus said right here. That comes from the Greek lexicon, Strong number 801. That means foolish, unintelligent, without understanding, or stupid. I tell you what, folks, if we miss this thing, it's because of us. Yes. It's not because of God. Amen. He has given us, let's stand to our feet. He has given us a prophet. He's given us a fivefold ministry. He's given us now that 1,100 sermons that we couldn't even put on this wall when we first was in this church because of the 7-inch reels. Now you can carry it almost in your watch. If you got an Apple Watch, you pretty much got the whole message in a watch. There's no excuse. There's no excuse. But I want us all to have virtue, because what is virtue? Virtue is strength and power. It's dunamis. We live an unfulfilled life because of our disobedience to the Word of God. And Brother Brown said, every word entitles you to the token. In this end time, we got to have it to get out of here. It's not some man. Listen, it's not a man-made idea. It's the Bible. The Bible tells us to be sons and daughters of God, to be of full age, to not eat, to not just drink milk, but eat what? Strong meat. Not just meat, strong meat. That we can what? Grow thereby. Let's don't be malnourished this year. Let's eat everything God give us. And grow in God. I adjure you. Get born again. Go to church. Read your Bible. Believe. Believe in what God's already done for you and what he's going to do for you. Listen, we have got so many different people in this church that could stand and testify for hours of what God's done in their life. Why don't you try to be one of them? Well, I don't have no testimony. Well, I do. You know why? I had a journey. I've come to a place where all that's quickened now. I know why that happened. You know why these things happen to you. Oh, it's me. Why did these things happen to me? I don't say that no more. I know why those things happened to me. To drive me closer to God. Because you know what? I was a child of his. I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows through my veins. Not literally. But Brother Brown said, "We're the bride is the blood by the Spirit. In the end time, we're the only thing keeping this world together. You and I. As bad as we, bro, wait, I got all these problems. You ain't got no problems. Live out there for a little while. Go out there and listen to what problems they have. And you'll get on your knees and you'll thank God for the things that he's given you. Number one, I thank him for the Holy Ghost, because that's eternal life. Regardless, it doesn't matter if I have shoes I read that, I know Brother Terry, you wouldn't think he'd come from that, but he did. And I was thinking the other day, I thought, Lord, I drove by and we were coming to Atlanta, and I looked up under a bridge, and there was a homeless shelter. They had built out of tarps and had all kind of trash thrown around, just a real junky place. But you know what? Some of those people like to do that. If you were to give them $100,000, they would probably spend it all and still live under that bridge. But I'm telling you, that's the same thing with me and you. Stop being that. Stop being a vagrant. You're a son and daughter of God. You get the new birth, he'll put you in a palace. He might not give you one here, but you got one there. You love the Lord? Don't be a vagrant. Don't be a vagabond. Don't be somebody that ain't got nowhere to go. That's miserable. Could you imagine as cold as it's been the last several weeks and you have to live under a bridge because you don't have any money, because somebody won't give you a chance? Thank God, God gave us a chance. He gave us a chance. Regardless of what we've done, he gave us a chance. We're all on equal basis when it comes to that. Listen, if let's just say for a fact that Sam Walton made it to heaven. His palace ain't going to be no bigger than mine. His bank account ain't going to be no bigger than mine. His street's going to be gold. My street's going to be gold. Because as I was telling somebody the other day, do you know this? If you took your life at this moment, that's about all your life is right now that I've known y'all 20 or 30 years. That's all a part of your life. You've got a lot that we wasted. You got a lot coming this way. But what about the one going on further? You die today without God? There's no hope. But you got hope. Because God's here to save your soul. He's here to build us up in the statue of perfect man. He's here to give us the things that we need. Let's sing a song, just one verse. If you have a need.
Holy word, long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the word of God in them part.
Holy life, words of hope,
give us strength, help us grow. In this world, wherever we roam, the word of God will guide us home. Word of God, ever true, changing me, changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the word of God impart.
Sing it to him.
Word of life.
Words of our faith.
Handed down to this age. All that is right here.
Came to us through sacrifice. Oh, heed the faithful
words of Christ. Holy words.
Long preserved for our walk in this world.
Many a man died to get this to you. Many a good man died to give you this right here. One real good man died so that they could write this. That's where it's at.
Ever true, changing me, changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the word of God.
Sing that verse again.
Changing me, changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the word of God impart.
Amen. Word of God, ever true. You read stuff on the internet. We looked at a picture the other day on the internet, and you swear it was real. And it was Photoshop. You can't believe nothing anymore. There's one thing that's never been Photoshopped. It's been copied. It's been looked at in different ways. But you won't ever Photoshop this. If you read it, it draws a picture, and that picture is always true. This right here. So why worry about all the other things? Word of God, ever true. Listen, there's thousands of men give their life to write this and publish it and get it to me and you. And then we just lay it up on a shelf, or we don't do but half of it. Let's commit ourselves to do better this year. This is not a New Year's resolution. No, this is, like I said before, Brother John, let's have a New Year's revelation. A revelation will never fail you. A revelation will not carry you away from the Word of God. It'll put you more in the Word of God. It marvels me at some of the people. I used to know a bunch of Catholics, and when we worked at the chicken plant, and for Lent they would give up something they didn't like. Well, I can do that. Lent's supposed to be giving up something that you like, you know, something that's going to be something that's going to really hurt to give it up. Listen, God doesn't ever want us to have Lent. He wants to give us the Word of God, and He has given us the Word of God. And you know what? You can make it where it's bitter in your belly. You can make it that way. But if you'll eat it, it might be, John said, sweet in my mouth, sour in my belly. But you know what? It didn't kill John. Didn't kill him. You know what he done? It made him prophesy. It made him go out and talk to kings and priests and all these different things. Give this message to the world.
Yes. Oh, word of God.
Sing it one more time. We'll go home.
All ever true.
Thank Brother John and Sister Edie for coming. We appreciate you guys. You're dismissed. Be back at 2 o'clock.
We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the word of God.